Chris Gibson, always wonderful to talk to you.
Good to be back.
I would just say my favorite Republican in New York's 19th district. Chris Gibson, I'm going to name two words, and then you tell me what up. Okay, here we go. Paul Ryan.
Good man. A real family man, a committed person who cares deeply about the institution, cares deeply about the country. And I think he's going to do everything he can to serve in a way that strengthens the institution. You heard his remarks at the point where he was sworn in. There are three roles for a speaker, the first of which is a constitutional role to ensure we stay functional, that we get our job done, and that in that process, every member, regardless of party, has an opportunity to have their voice heard. I think he's going to do well by that. He certainly knows the institution very well. The second is a communicator. In this day and age, different if you watch the movie Lincoln, that was certainly a different era. But in the 21st century, with the advent of the information age, if you want to be the Speaker of the House, you got to speak. You have to be a communicator. I think Paul Ryan will do well on that. And then the third, and media has covered this point extensively, really to provide unity for a party that, well, certainly we've had our challenges on that score. So I think Paul Ryan on all three accounts will be a strong leader, and I look forward to serving. Look, as we've talked over the years, Alan, Paul and I have had our differences, but I've always respected him, and I look forward to his tenure.
Chris, tell me this now. How is he different from John Boehner?
Well, on a number of counts. I think they're both good and honorable men. I said this to John Boehner before I did not vote for him in January of 2015. I said, look, I think you're a good person. I also think that your time has come. I actually felt partially vindicated when he spoke to our conference, when he announced, rather certainly unexpectedly to everyone, including us, that he was going to step down. He did say that he had always intended to leave the office in December of 2014. That had changed when Eric Cantor was surprisingly defeated in a primary. He decided that he needed to stay longer. That was his judgment. But I thought at that point it was really the end of what his functional time was. So, you know, I think he's a good person, but I wish him all the best in retirement. Paul Ryan, I think, is different in the sense that he certainly has no inhibitions as far as communicating. John Boehner, I think that was one aspect of the job he did not really enjoy, getting on the Sunday morning talk shows and getting on all media outlets. You may have seen that Paul was just on five major Sunday morning talk shows. Right. I think he'll be a frequent visitor. I think that is so important because there are so many virtues about the internet and the 24/7 news cycle, but there are some potential challenges too, drawbacks even. And that is that urban legend and myth sometimes gets on a roll, and things that are not true then get accepted as conventional wisdom, and that can hurt the functionality of the House. And I think Paul Ryan will get on and explain things in very simple terms that I think will resonate, which will allow for more of a functionality of the House, and he'll be better at John Boehner than that.
Let me argue with you about something. I think argue with you. You may agree. And that is he recently said, as we speak, that he didn't basically trust the President of the United States, and therefore he wasn't going to work with him on an immigration program. Now, I happen to think, for whatever it's worth, that he had no intention of ever working on an immigration program, and I don't think your Republican conference was going to work with him. So to say, I'm not going to do it, is probably to keep his own people in line, particularly on the right.
Well, it's an arguable point. I'll certainly acknowledge that. But I will say this, that, you know, and I've said this consistently, that when I've met with my constituents, if you're not going to enforce the law, then what's the point of changing it? So I think there is something to what Paul is saying, that after the president took this into his own hands and made some unilateral decisions, I think at that point, the opportunity for us to actually enact legislative reform became much problematical.
But just to fight with you for a second on that, because it seems to me he tried. The Republicans say, no way, Jose, we're not going to do it. And then he comes out and says, okay, now when the Republicans now say we're not going to do it, but he tried.
Well, let's make a couple points here. First of all, let's be clear that this is the issue that he said that he didn't trust the president. He didn't say that he wouldn't work with him on other issues. And in fact, we just enacted, even as I'm interviewing with you this week, we just enacted a 2-year budget that I think is going to be good for the economy. It's going to be good for certainty in government. It was certainly needed for the peace through strength approach. And so, you know, I think that it's also going to help our domestic priorities here to make sure that we have a good budget agreement. So, and it will continue us on a path back to a balanced budget. So for a lot of reasons, I think it was important that we worked together. So
but that wasn't Ryan. That was, according to Ryan and Boehner, it was Boehner.
Yeah, well, also Paul voted for it. So I think that's...
But then criticized it after the fact.
Well, the process, and there's a lot to criticize with the process, but I think it was important that that we get it done. Remember also that Paul Ryan is the one that worked with Senator Murray to ensure we get a budget agreement in December of 2013. So, you know, I want to make that point right up front. Then also I want to make a second point, and that is this, is that in the period 2009 and 2010, a 2-year period, you had Democrats in control of the House. They had a filibuster-proof control majority in the Senate and a Democratic president. And for the record, the Democratic majorities did nothing to resolve the immigration problem as well. I am public on this. I have stated a whole approach on how I think we can very common sense, in a common sense way, resolve this issue. So, you know, I think that, you know, this is an issue absolutely we're going to have to tackle. But, you know, it is what it is. And I think Paul's saying that it's going to wait for the next president, Democrat or Republican.
We only have 2 minutes, but remind me what your approach is, Chris Gibson.
Well, you know, the first thing is that, you know, again, if we're going to, we have to be able to enforce whatever it is we change, we have to be able to enforce. So I do believe that you're talking about borders, north and south. You're talking about ports, east and west. You're talking about interior enforcement, too. Probably going to need some help. One law, but multiple layers of government enforcing it. Then you need to streamline the naturalization process. It shouldn't take 9 years to become a citizen. You need an ag worker program. That's certainly something we learned from Simpson-Mazzoli in 1986. And then at the end of the day, once you have a program you can enforce, you have to do something with the 11 million people who are here now. Look, you're just I don't care what anybody says. You're not going to round people up and send them back. It's, first of all, it's cost prohibitive. Second of all, many of them are working now. Now, we are a country of laws. We're also a nation of immigrants. We have to find a way to reconcile the two. I have worked very closely with people across the political spectrum, including advocates, leaders in some of the immigrant communities, and they're comfortable with what I'm about ready to tell you. I think that there has to be consequences. You know, we need to have a program where individuals have the opportunity to come forward, plead guilty for being here outside the rule of law, and then pay consequences, including paying a fine, going through a background check, getting to the back of the line. Some say learn English, and they would have a chance to earn legal status. And I think that this would allow them to come out of the shadows. And it would also allow us to sort of come together on an issue that I think we must do. And if you think about it, I mean, my family, Irish American, all of us have a story of how we arrived here in America. And we have to find a way to come together and get this issue done.
It's always wonderful to talk to my friend, Chris Gibson of New York's 19th District on the Congressional Corner here. When we come back, I want to ask you about something else.
Super.